Bickley and Murata. Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
These shows fly by. It's already 9 o'clock. Woo! Time to welcome back in Sarah Cazell to take us through Social Studies. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Sarah.
Final hour of the show. I was about to ask, how are we doing? But I just have to find a new crutch because I've been with you for 3 hours now.
Yeah, that's right.
Well done. So Friday's big Whiskey's Quicker show that we were all part of.
Yes.
Dan posted a video, and he set it up as, this is what happens when Jared comes to the... But the star of the video was Sarah
dancing.
Absolutely was dancing off in the corner there.
Yeah,
very
good
moves. Very, very solid moves, as many people took to Twitter.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think my my part is the underrated guy just holding his beer and then skedaddling off stage.
Right.
That was underrated.
You all got very, very good reviews.
Yes, we all have a part to play.
Yes.
When we're on stage with Whiskey's Quicker, which, by the way, Dan, that was such a good show.
Well, thank you.
Your band is great.
I agree. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you all for coming out.
Yeah.
Supporting.
It was a great time. On Twitter at Bickley_Murata, that is where you can find us and participate in Social Studies, which we do every day at 9 o'clock here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. So, of course, several Cardinals questions for you on this Victory Monday. Starting with, of these four options, who do you think was the MVP of yesterday's win over Jacksonville? Was it Kyler Murray, 316 yards passing and an interception? James Conner, who ran in 2 touchdowns? A.J. Green, leading receivers with 112 yards on 5 receptions, or Byron Murphy Jr. with 2 interceptions, one of them returned for a touchdown. Who's your MVP?
Mark me down for D, Byron Murphy Jr.
That's my answer as well.
Yes.
To come up with 2 picks, one in the red zone and then one that completely swayed the momentum of that game. It's, you know, the other 3 guys obviously contributed greatly, but B. Murph.
Yeah.
What is up?
This is one of those where Byron...
Saguaro High School.
Great Sabercat.
That's right, Sabercats.
Yes.
Right.
Byron Murphy Jr. gets 78% of the vote, and I'm wondering why it's not higher than that. I think it's very clearly Byron Murphy Jr.
I think so too, but...
78% for him. Single digits for everyone else. 9.1% for A.J. Green. Just shy of 9% for Kyler Murray. 4% for James Conner. Daryl Lee says it's Matt Prater. Unlike the Jaguars kicker, every time his foot touches the ball, there's a score, though not always for the right team.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Moving on to our next question. Cliff and Kyler both said after yesterday's game that the Cardinals of the 2020 season or even the 2019 season would not have pulled off yesterday's win the way that the 2021 Cardinals did. So open-ended question, touching on something we've already hit on in this show, what do you think is the biggest difference, if any, between this year's Cardinals team and last?
I think there's a difference. It would be foolish for me to make any kind of proclamation that this team has arrived just yet.
Sure.
3-0, pleasant surprise. But if I want to talk about the difference... It's to me the comfort level of Kyler Murray right now, especially in plays that are off schedule or not planned. You know, there was a level of maybe concern or panic before. He looked very comfortable in those situations. Now, if you could just clean up the ones that are still on schedule, now we're talking.
Yeah. To me, it would be the star power of the team and or the maturity of the quarterback. Those two elements to me seem like the biggest differences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's well said. A lot of varied replies from our listeners. Your stepdaddy says, adjusting throughout the game, everyone had the Cardinals losing after that return by Agnew, but they adjusted throughout the game. Thank you, your stepdaddy. Dante AZ says the biggest difference between this year's team and last is one win. It doesn't seem like much, but one win kept us out of the playoffs last year, and it's all the difference we needed to be a playoff team. Then he adds, conversely, it shows that it's still early in the season. The Cardinals will lose and will disappoint at some point this year, but one win is progress.
It's a good way to put it, too, because if you go back to last year, everybody focuses on those last two losses, but the losses to Carolina and Detroit were just as big in keeping them out of the playoffs.
That's true. Exactly. Wouldn't have been in that position if they had gotten those wins earlier in the season. Jump and Shout says the team is built this year just a smidge better to get by some of the dumb mistakes made by the head coach at times. Colbster94 says he doesn't see a major difference yet, to be honest. A couple of people mentioned that. And then Ernest J says the ball is bouncing our way a bit. We will know more next week, which is, of course, when they play the Rams.
Definitely true.
Who are still unbeaten as well. All right, next question. Honing in on the Cardinals receivers. Lots of storylines around the Arizona Cardinals receivers right now. We're asking, what do you think is the biggest storyline specific to that group at this point in the season? Lack of targets for DeAndre Hopkins, specifically in the second half of games. AJ Green looking good so far. Consistent play by Christian Kirk, or the excitement around the rookie Rondale Moore? Biggest storyline for a Cardinals receiver?
I'm not speaking for Bic, but for me, it's consistent play from Christian Kirk. I want to focus on the positive. The Hopkins thing is weird. We don't know what the injury status has been the last 2 weeks that has cut down the number of throws going his way. But the Cardinals are not in the business of appeasing DeAndre Hopkins fantasy owners. Mm-hmm. They're in the business of winning football games. And what they're doing right now is working. So I'll keep it positive, and I'll say the Christian Kirk consistency is number one for me.
Yeah, I think that's the vote. I think DeAndre Hopkins... Again, it was a little disorienting for him to be a game-time decision, but then he played like he always does. Mm-hmm. He seemed to be running just fine early. Maybe he re-aggravated. Maybe teams are just continuing to bracket coverage. Vinny hit the nail on the head. I think a lot of people who are upset probably drafted him to play fantasy football.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, there's definitely something to that. But our voters say the biggest storyline involving Cardinals receivers so far, 58% say consistent play by Christian Kirk. 23% went with the lack of targets for DeAndre Hopkins. 12% went with the excitement around Rondale Moore. Only 7% think the biggest storyline is that AJ Green looks good right now. Seabacher44 says Christian Kirk is the only correct answer. He has never played three consistent games in a row since being drafted. He's probably right there. I can't think of three consistent. Nathaniel says, I was excited about Rondale Moore after game two. And I don't, I don't understand why the creative usage and involvement of Rondale Moore did not extend into yesterday's game.
Hmm. Fair.
And then Chris Lewis says the biggest storyline is, in all caps, look at all these weapons!
That could have been the fifth choice in that poll, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And final question, quickly squeezing it in the spirit of yesterday's kick six by Jacksonville. We are asking for the weirdest rules or abnormalities in all of sports. Rules that make you scratch your head, etc.
I didn't have one that really popped into my head right away, so I went and looked at the responses. And
I've got one.
Go ahead.
That they allow hockey players to drop their gloves and start fighting each other.
Well, they do get penalized, though. It's not that they allow it.
Well, they allow it
to a degree, if both guys are still on their skates, they'll let them go.
Yeah.
Until somebody goes to the ice, usually.
That's true.
It is a little weird.
I always thought it was weird that if they drop the third strike, you could run to first base, and it doesn't count as an out.
Yeah. That was always fun in Little League, because... like half of all strikeouts ended with a third drop third strike.
That's
so I was like, your on base percentage was huge, but you struck out half the time. That's the only way I got on base.
The rule that led to the valley oop and the that you could inbound a pass that essentially could be a shot into the hoop without.
It seems weird, but if you think about it and break it down, it makes perfect sense. It's not a shot. You can't shoot the ball from out of bounds.
Somebody responded, the Valley Oop rule is so weird that the people who get paid to play the game forget
it's
a rule.
Yeah.
That is true.
It is true.
That is true. And the Suns have benefited from that twice, and once in the Western Conference Finals. Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah, not mad about that. A lot of good varying responses right now that we don't really have time to get to. So again, on Twitter, we are at Bickley_Murata. Find it there. Scroll through all the responses. There's some good stuff.
I just want to give a shout to Matthew, who said, the rule that Angel Hernandez is allowed to umpire MLB games. That's great answer. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Social studies every day at 9 at, Sarah said, at Bickley underscore Murata. Coming up, you saw some things in yesterday's Cardinals-Jags game that you will never see again. And one thing that you definitely will see again. We'll get into all of them next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
Snap is high. Cook has it. Gets the kick away. It's deep. Rondale Moore backtracking to his left. And he muffs the punt. It was fair caught, but he kicked it forward about the 18-yard line. The Cardinals recovered it, thankfully. There's also a flag down, which would have been against Arizona, you would think. So very fortunate for the Cardinals that it was recovered by Hamilton.
Wow. Rondale Moore, that was so weird, his reaction. The ball
during
went
the kick, illegal block in the back. Receiving team, number 22. Half the distance penalty. Arizona keeps the ball. First down.
Now, you heard a bit of the reaction from Wolf there on the Cardinals radio broadcast of the weird reaction from Rondale Moore on that play. Sure-handed guy calls for a fair catch along the sidelines. And the reaction was very strange. And you're like, what did happen? The reason why the reaction was so strange is because and you heard the penalty being announced there. The referees or the official's flag that was thrown actually hit the football in midair.
I had no idea. And I was very angry because the play happens and Rondale Moore looked really thrown off by it. And Fox never showed a replay. Never.
No.
They had pre-produced graphics to show is what they had to show. And so I'm like, all right, what happened there? Somebody obviously felt the same way, went back to the game tape and caught that. And to me, there's an obvious question here. The Cardinals were lucky that they recovered that fumble. That looked like that was going to end up in a Jacksonville player's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it didn't. What if that would have been ruled a turnover?
What would have happened? What do you guys think? They would have had to not have it be a turnover, right?
No.
They interfered with the...
Absolutely not. He threw the flag. There's no... I mean, he's throwing the flag to where he believes that the penalty is happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's just... I think it would just be handled the same way as, like, you know, a basketball going out of bounds. If it hits the official, it hits the official. It's still whoever...
Or a grounder that hits an umpire in the outfield.
In the where?
In the infield.
In the outfield. I don't know what they would have ruled. I think it had Jacksonville recovered that ball, it would have stood even
I think
with
you're right.
That.
And that's a bad deal.
You'll never see that again. We've been watching football combined for how long? A long time.
Never
seen that.
No.
That might be the most infamous flag throw since Jeff Triplett took out Orlando Brown's eye.
Oh,
with that
right.
flag. Remember that?
Oh, I do remember that.
Affected his career with
that. Wow, that's right. And it was also eerily reminiscent of the Randy Johnson killing the bird play, which involved Kyler Murray's dad, ironically.
That's right.
Yeah.
His uncle.
Uncle Calvin.
Yeah, right.
Uncle Calvin.
Which somebody brought up in our social studies question about the strangest rule, that was a no pitch.
Don't tell the bird that.
Oh, jeez. Too soon.
My
man.
Life
Too
was soon. Meant for, died in vain. No pitch. Yeah.
There was like,
what a weird. Yeah, that was really an oddball moment. But then Rondale Moore responded with a very good punt return on his very next kick that he fielded, which was good.
Yeah. So that's one of the things you'll never see again.
Mm-hmm.
You'll also never see a touchdown longer than one that Jacksonville scored, 109 yards. You might not ever see a decision by Cliff Kingsbury to allow his kicker to kick a 68-yard field goal again either, but that backfired in a big way. Could have loomed large. That's two plays that could have loomed large where the Cardinals were able to overcome one and actually got a break on the other, but Jamal Agnew taking a kick six back 109 yards, tying the record for the longest touchdown in NFL history. you'll never see that matched again.
No, that is true. Yeah, I mean, that's maxed out. That's like Aeneas Williams interception return kind of thing.
Yes.
You remember that?
And the one thing that you will see again and again and again probably is Kyler Murray's post-touchdown celebration.
I thought
he went Baby Yoda again.
I thought it was very interesting after sort of being weird about not wanting to admit that he was doing Baby Yoda, that he did it again.
And it was also when you saw the replay when they had the close-up, slow motion close-up of Kyler Murray when he sat down and assumed the pose.
Yeah.
This huge grin came over his face, almost like he was not only doing the pose again, but also posing for the cameras.
But yes,
with a helmet
without
on.
Without a doubt. And so to me, with that obviously is a branding thing.
Though. Oh, you don't think he smells that sweet, sweet cheddar?
Oh, sure he does. I told Vinny earlier that somebody said, Kyler, keep doing this, man. This is Disney. It's Star Wars. It's all. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, ESPN's
you might get a cameo in the next movie.
ESPN's owned by Disney. They could use him in cross-promotional.
Without a doubt. So if somebody very smart, I think, got into Kyler's ear and said, yeah, embrace it.
And it was copied yesterday, too, by Chris Godwin of the Buccaneers.
What was that about?
Infringement. I think Murray's got a case here.
Maybe he was being adult.
Bring it up in front of Judge Joe Judge.
I went back and I watched that sketch.
Did you think it was funny?
It was pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
so
who knows?
No, again, so I think that, okay, if you're doing that, if that is your end zone celebration, then that has become a branding technique. I like it. I think it's funny. I do. And it kind of does encapsulize who Kyler Murray is as a player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we also talked about it in social studies as well, the biggest change between this year's team and Kyler Murray's comfort level. And I didn't even expand on that and say his comfort level off the field, too. He just seems looser, like he's having more fun in press conference situations. Now, I do find it also interesting on Kyler Murray, Bick, that while that is the case, and he's had some more fun with the media, he's also mentioned the word frustrated after each win this year.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah, he's...
And that might tie into what he said earlier about, hey, I'm striving for perfection. And when you have that one pick every week that has people scratching their heads that falls short of perfection, so maybe that's the frustrating part, but I got a kick out of Kyler Murray when they asked, hey, what were you thinking about that 68-yard field goal? And he laughed and he said, why are we kicking this?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Again, so I think Kyler Murray, by and large, was very good yesterday again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the way he finished the game was very strong. I don't remember the stat offhand, but I think it was 11 consecutive completions to end the game.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on point. Here's the thing, too. He has made bad interceptions in each of the three games that he's played, but of the four interceptions, three have been followed by scoring drives. Two of them were touchdowns. One was a field goal. Yesterday, that was the when they had the dual fourth and threes, that was the drive. It ended in a field goal. Had they scored a touchdown that drive, that would have been the third time in four interceptions that Kyler Murray responded with the touchdown.
Wow. That's a good way to bounce back.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll hand out some hardware. It's Bickley and Marotta mornings on this Big Red Monday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right. Welcome back to Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on 98.7 FM. Let's turn to ArizonaSports.com for the Arizona Sports Poll Question heading into the final half hour of this show. Cardinals, 3-0 now to start off the season. We are asking, what is your confidence level in the Cardinals after that 3-0 start? There are four options for you to vote on. I am very confident in the Cardinals. I'm slightly confident in the Cardinals. Slightly worried, or I see a lot of room for improvement.
I'm going to let you vote on that one, Vinny.
Mine's a combination of two. Slightly confident, but outweighing that is a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah. You can be confident in what you see, but still see lots of room for improvement.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good answer.
And they're getting a lot of bounces.
Yeah. So should we vote for a lot of room for improvement?
That's where I want to vote, yeah.
Okay, D. Let's do that. Yeah. D, a lot of room for improvement. And slightly confident is getting 51% of the vote.
Great name for a band, by the way.
Slightly confident. Slightly stupid. Slightly nervous.
Slightly hungry.
Ooh, that's my band. 29%.
Slightly back!
See a lot of room
slightly
for...
Burnsy!
Oh, man. 12% say slightly worried. 8% say very confident. So again, it's slightly confident, followed by a lot of room for improvement, slightly worried, very confident.
All right. There you go. Today's Sanderson Ford poll question. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
You can find it on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta. Handing out the hardware.
Hardware is our version of the award show. We do it on Mondays. It's brought to you by our friends at Revitalize. Make changes that can last a lifetime with Revitalize. Their phone number, 480-435-3557, or check them out online at revitalizeweightloss.com. The first award will be presented by Dan Bickley.
Yeah, sorry if I'm stealing this one from you. Make this guy a full-time media member award goes to David Letterman, who showed up at Nets Media Day and caused kind of a ruckus.
He did. He was among the media.
Jared, are you giving me a cue here, Jared?
The media throngs.
I have the audio.
Oh, okay. Do you?
Part of it.
Let's do it.
Dave from Basketball Digest. Yeah. Kevin, KD, why do people call you KD? Can I call you KD? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
My first name is Kevin.
Uh-huh. Right.
And my second name, my last name. Down. My second name. My last name is Durant with a D.
KD, this year, what percentage do you plan on giving on the court? 90, 95, 100, 110? What are we looking at?
110.
110.
I actually really appreciate that question.
Yeah, so do I.
And he followed it up with, would you think about playing for the Knicks on your off days?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. And
KD had a smile on his face the whole time.
Yeah.
That was sarcasm.
Well, yes.
He didn't know who he was, first of all.
He didn't?
No, because at the end of it, he goes, I guess you'll let anybody in here, huh?
So that wasn't a joke? That was he was being
silenced. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. If you watch the video, he's completely stone-faced and confused the whole time.
Yeah, and as
but
I told
that's
him,
how he is.
He has no chill whatsoever, which is why I think David Letterman was trying to kind of poke him a little bit.
Yeah. This was over Zoom, no?
No,
no, I think he was there. In person.
Yeah. Was he
in person?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, why was his audio so bad? It's definitely not.
Well done, David Letterman. My first award is the honorary Eric Cartman Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home Award. And I'm giving it to Kayvon Pope of the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah,
or formerly of the Ohio State Buckeyes. During their game with Akron the other night, which they were losing at one point, but then it turned into be a rout, this tweet came out. Pope tried to run out. This is from Austin Ward Sports. Pope tried to run out of the field in a sub package. Taraja Mitchell waved him off, and Pope stormed down the sideline, started walking back to the tunnel, and then had to be coaxed back by an Ohio State staffer. He tossed his gloves into the stands and took off his jersey. Then he went into the locker room and tweeted out during the game, blank Ohio State. And then he wished his teammates luck. He tweeted out an apology, but it was too late. Ryan Day booted him off the team. Yeah, that's not a great way to handle things.
Yeah, no, that was a crazy, crazy scene. The Lunacy Award, Vinny, goes to the Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator, whom in an overtime loss to the Raiders yesterday threw a screen pass in the end zone. They had their quarterback throw the ball to a wide receiver who was standing in the end zone, hit immediately for a safety. It was one of the dumbest deployments of strategy I've ever seen in the NFL.
Well,
yeah, it's just dumb.
My next award is the This Is Why You Should Send Sports People to Do Sports Stories Awards. Haley Crumbleholm is a reporter from KUTV in Salt Lake City. They were doing on-street interviews on the Jazz and their announcement that they'll require proof of vaccination against COVID-19 or a negative COVID-19 test within 72 hours for fans to get into the arena. So she's interviewing people on the street. Who happens to walk by a member of the Utah Jazz, Jordan Clarkson. They stop. They do the TV thing. Hey, could you spell your name for us so we get it right on the graphic? One of the questions Crumbleholm asked was, do you go to jazz games? Oh, no. To which Clarkson played along and said, yeah, a lot. They found out after the fact and said, oh, I've got some further questions now. Is that
yeah,
not?
A little late now. A little late for that. Access denied.
I have a new respect for Jordan Clarkson.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
My next award, Vinny, is the American Pride Award. I'm giving it to the members of the Ryder Cup who over the weekend trounced Europe. And I'm going to give a big nod to Bryson DeChambeau because yesterday to start his match, he drove the first green. And the crowd went nuts, and it just sort of was the punctuation mark to a really great weekend that spoke to a new era in American male golf. So,
what was the yardage on that hole? Do you know?
It was like
160.
No, it was like 360.
That's
something
crazy.
Like that. But he's the most entertaining guy in golf. And the big difference was, he was adored universally at the Ryder Cup because, mm-hmm. you know, he was a good guy. And you could tell he really dug that. It was a nice change from the trolls he's been dealing with.
Yeah,
put it
it's
that
just
way.
Ridiculous, though. I feel pride when I drive the, I could drive it to the back wall at Topgolf, 217 yards. And I really got to get lucky to do that.
Yeah.
He's doubling that.
I'm encouraged by your sudden...
I looked at clubs this weekend.
You?
I did.
Did
I
you?
Looked at them.
Yeah,
I didn't
okay.
buy them, but okay. I did look at them. My last award is the... did they sell their souls? No, I'm going to give this one. The adding insult to injury award. Justin Tucker kicked a 66-yard field goal, a new NFL record, to beat the Detroit Lions. It's the second time... in a row, the Ravens have gone to Detroit and won a game on a Justin Tucker 60-plus yard field goal. This one clanked off the crossbar and went through. Painful way to lose a game. But Justin Tucker, after the game, said this, quote, I love Detroit. I'm thinking about getting a place here.
Oh, my goodness.
goodness. With all due respect to a lot of great kickers, Justin Tucker, the best of all time.
Yeah, that is true.
There you go. There's Hardware. It's brought to you by Revitalize. Coming up next, Big Red Monday continues. We'll have some Big Red Crosstalk with Wolf and Luke. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Bickley and Murata.
As we do on Mondays, we wrap up our show, handed things off to Wolf and Luke from 10 to 2 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, joined by Wolf and Luke, live from the Arizona Cardinals, the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center, after another Cardinals victory, 31-19. Boys, how are you today?
What's up, Vinny? What's up, Bick?
Doing great, guys.
Yeah, we just had a little fun with some of the frivolities of the game, and you can call them frivolities after the Cardinals find a way to win, but... A penalty flag hitting airborne football, causing a muffed punt. I was going to ask you.
Seen it.
No, it was crazy. And, you know, we'll never see a touchdown longer than 109 yards. And we saw that yesterday, too, and the Cardinals were able to overcome both of those things.
Yeah, we were just talking about this in the pre-show prep for our show. Of just you see the Cardinals almost flip the switch at some point in the third quarter, and I do wonder how much of that was they looked around and they're like, this is going miserably, and this is going to be an embarrassing loss, and we're going to have to hear about that 109-yard field goal kick return forever. And then it's almost like the light bulb went on and somebody was like, or we could just still win because there's still 20 minutes left in the game. And so they just did, and Jacksonville did everything they could to help him in those final 20 minutes.
You know, it's so funny because I have to start with a flag hitting the football. That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Rondale Moore, of course, is a highly skilled athlete. And it was, when I saw it live, I could not believe his reaction. It was like he had no idea what had happened.
Yeah.
What it hit him and just went boom right into the middle of the field for the most part. And to see him muff it that bad, it was like, how is this possible? What was he doing? Did he lose it in the sun? Because the sun's actually behind him. So how did he lose
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's
thing?
A problem.
And it was the flag. And it made perfect sense. And I didn't see the flag live.
Well, Wolf, I'm curious what you think about this. This is the second week in a row now the team has kind of dealt with and overcome some adversity. Is this a trend? Is this a good sign for this team?
Yeah, I think so. You know, honestly, Dave Pasch and I were talking about this after the game. Guys, I will tell you, I was discouraged. I was discouraged when it was 19-10. I was really discouraged that somehow, some way, the Arizona Cardinals had come out to play the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they did not have the requisite amount of intensity that I thought they needed or should bring. I've been waiting this whole time that the Arizona Cardinals would play up to their standard. They're a good football team that has to go out and play up to their standard in order to become a great football team. They're a good football team right now. Good football teams, guys, they don't beat themselves. That's number one. And they beat teams they should beat. Mm-hmm. It just took a wake-up call of 8 plays, 75-yard drive, where the Jacksonville Jaguars ran the ball on every play. The definition of embarrassing an NFL team. The definition of ramming the ball down the throat of your opponent. Mm-hmm. It happened to the Cardinals, and that's what it took for them to respond. It was like, okay, I guess we're playing for keeps.
And Luke, after that drive, I think every Cardinals fan had the same reaction on the next possession from Jacksonville, and that was, thank goodness Darrell Bevell called a flea flicker instead of continuing to run the football. I mean, do you think the Cardinals should send over an edible arrangement or just a nice note or something about that play? Because that totally swung the game.
Yeah, you got to send something to their offensive play calling, but also something probably to Josh Lambeau, too, for missing extra point after extra point. Every time Jacksonville seemed to grab the momentum, and I know they're still getting the touchdowns, but it was like, hey, Jacksonville took that field goal back 109 yards, and then we missed the extra point. Hey, Jacksonville touchdown, and then we missed the extra point. Like, it did have that sort of weird twinge at the end of each big play for Jacksonville. But yeah, I mean, you're 100% right, Vinny. I don't know why the Jaguars didn't look around and just say, hey, James Robinson is still good. He was only a rookie last year and he was fifth in the NFL in rushing, and he just ran right through the Cardinals. Why don't we do it again? And they decided to be Jacksonville and run a flea flicker.
First of all, let me just say this as well. John Clayton sent me a fruit basket for ending Brian Bosworth's career, okay? Just so you know that. He did. John Clayton.
I didn't know you did that.
No.
You should
I'm
be
telling
sent
you.
More than that.
I'm telling you. No, Danny, it was. They did. The Seattle beat writer sent me a basket led by John Clayton. It showed up to my door. But anyways, I digress right now. I think the Cardinals.
How did we not know
that? The Cardinals last year, we saw this. They played up and down to their competition last year. And that's the next step for this team, guys. That is the next step, to play to their standard and nobody else's standard, regardless of who they're going to play. Yeah, you know what? The Rams are going to feel threatened. There's no doubt about that. You're gonna feel threatened, and I expect the Arizona Cardinals to play very, very well because of it. But now they've got to learn, where is that standard, our standard, that we've got to go play to when we play teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars in the future, right? Listen, last year, Detroit, Carolina, that's all we need to say right there. Detroit and Carolina, you can't allow that to happen again. And I think this is where this team can grow the most and come together and get better, is learning how to bring that greatness on a consistent level.
Yeah, you know what? I know you were, Wolf, and I was as well, looking for greater physicality from this football team. We certainly saw it against Tennessee in week one. Curious your thoughts on the front seven right now and their ability to stop the run against really good teams.
Yeah, you know, it seems like when they're up for it, when they're expecting it, when they're locked in, yeah, they're going to do a good job. I mean, again, Tennessee happened. That game happened. We saw it on tape. They locked down, shut down Derrick Henry and the Titans from running the ball. But I think, again, this is just a team that's got to find itself, find its identity, and I think they will at some point in time. I hope they certainly do, because that is the hallmark of a great team. That box, Danny, for the most part, they've got young guys that they're trying to bring along, young guys that they're trying to train up, and Zaven Collins has got to continue to use his hands, get better at using his hands. You go back and watch the tape on that one possession where they did line up and go 8 plays where they didn't throw the ball, and they scored that touchdown right there to make it 19-10. I think Zaven Collins has got to do a much better job of using his hands, Isaiah Simmons as well. And once these young guys actually learn how to do that, they're going to make an awful lot of plays.
I will always credit players with playing through injury, and I think we saw an example of that with DeAndre Hopkins yesterday. And the Cardinals right now are being able to really, flaunt their wide receiver depth. But real quick, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, does he look right to you guys?
He doesn't. I mean, this is his worst two-game stretch, worst in air quotes, I guess, since he's joined the Cardinals. But, I mean, if it's something where he gets better by next week or within a week or two, they have other guys that can kind of make up for it, it seems like.
Might be the best thing that happened to the team overall, just because Kyler Murray's spreading the ball.
Yeah, and that has been a strength over the first 3 weeks, definitely. All right, guys, thanks for the time. We'll be listening. They got Cliff Kingsbury today. You guys got DeAndre Ayton on today, too, don't you?
Yes.
On Suns
wow, cool.
Very nice. We'll be listening. Wolf and Luke from 10 to 2. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Howard Balzer for joining us. Thanks to Herm Edwards, the ASU head coach, for joining us as well. And as always, thanks to you for hanging out with us for the last 4 hours. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6. Wolf and Luke up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.